This is not hard. I don't have to study for months to do this. I walked in it 25 years ago and been living in it ever since.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on February 10, 2021, and is titled, Repent and Be Baptized. Grab your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2, and let's join Steve in the message.
I get it. I hope you get it too. And he says right here, I'm going to pour out my spirit on the servants. They'll prophesy wonders in heaven above, signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor, and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm telling you, God has rocked the earth more than once. The day he was crucified, the earth split in two and it thundered and lightning. There'll come another day when all this will come to pass again. Who knows how many times this is going to come where he's going to shake the earth. You know why God shakes the earth? There's been a shaking going on right now, because everything that's not of God will not withstand the shaking. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. We had a prophet, a seer, walk right in here from Mississippi one day several years ago. Never forget it. Sat right down in that chair right there, got up and walked up to this pulpit, and he said, let me tell you one thing, that the earth is being, the world is being turned upside down so that God's church will be turned right side up. I'll never forget it. That's shaking. So be careful if you're the one that feels the shaking going on, and all you can do is grab the table and clutch your hands or grab the back of the pew. Get your feet firmly planted on the rock. Know that you're the living stone, that no weapon forged against you will prevail. My God said in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If any man seeks to destroy you, I will destroy him. Come on, make my day. That's what God said. He does crazy stuff. How many groups of people who claim to believe in Jesus really desire crazy stuff? Come on, man. You got to get licking your lips. You got to get hungry for some crazy stuff. Do you know why you don't see crazy stuff? You have not because you ask not. God, don't make me uncomfortable. Oh, come on, God. Don't make me look silly. Come on, God. Surely you're normal. Normal compared to what? What, God's supposed to be normal like us? We're the most abnormal. Yeah. Have you ever thought about that? At least animals act natural. Just saying, he said, men of Israel. But see, look what happens, verse 21. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that our desire when we get up in the morning? That somebody in our midst will call on the name of the Lord? Call on Jesus. Find hope in Jesus. To not just tell people you need Jesus because you're going to die, but to let the whole world know that we need Jesus because we're going to live. That we have earthly promises, that we have a life, we have generations and things to be joyful and hopeful about. In the good times and the bad, in the dry and the wet, it doesn't matter. Verse 22 says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. You want to know for sure you're preaching the word of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Begin to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, when I walked in the most miracles, signs, and wonders, when I had the most infantile faith. I'm trying to get back there now. Well, I call people on the telephone who are sick. When God tells me to call somebody, I'll pray for them or drive over and pray for them. I think pretty near every one of them got plumb well here in the last little bit. We're starting to see it. I hadn't drove up on any dead guys lately, but when I do, I'm going to flop down on one of them and see if I can get him up. I've done it twice. Back in the days when I didn't know anything. How many of y'all ever heard the phrase, ignorance is bliss? I didn't know any better. I just flopped down on them and they got up. Second time, there's a whole pile of guys came to Jesus. Isn't that the plan? So what if our programs and strategies really haven't been very effective? What if we were just weird with God and we saw miracles, signs, things that man can't figure out, things that science can't explain, things that higher academia will just try to shove out of the way because can't handle it. He says, he did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Jesus walked in all this stuff. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. That's exactly what evil's trying to do to you and your faith today. The lawlessness and godlessness of leadership in America today in certain places and in certain areas of the land are trying to crucify your Christianity. They're trying to crucify your faith. And he said right here, those hands crucified put to death whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Jesus loosed the pains of death. So if death no longer has any sting according to the Bible, if we truly do translate to a better place after it's all gone, then why would we fear the ideals of men? Why would we fear the affections of men? Why would we fear the disdain of men? Why would we fear the looks? Why would we fear the verbiage? Why would we fear anything? If you don't fear death, then what is there to fear? Why don't we walk in a holy boldness? Why don't we walk in the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit? What are we afraid of? If you ain't afraid of dying, and you done figured out in your mind what you're willing to die for, shoot, it's winter, winter, chicken dinner. Doesn't matter. And if you ain't figured out what you'll die for, then you don't have any idea what you're living for. It's awful quiet in here tonight, kids. Usually you kids are a little rowdier than this. For David says concerning him, this is out of Psalm 16. I foresaw the Lord. This is really good, David seeing this. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he sat at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. That's David. He's probably the only guy that publicly messed up worse than Peter. He was a disaster. Yet he was a man after God's own heart, had his own family issues, had his own flesh issues. Then he went to war every other day. His life was on the line pretty much the whole time he was alive. There's somebody, either a lion, a bear, or Saul wanting to kill him. And every day the enemies were looking him in the face. When you read through the Psalms, he talks about being tangled up like seaweed and choking out. And God, where have you gone? And help me, Lord, and get my enemies, God. And then all of a sudden, hey, thank you for the victory. And it's just over and over and over and over. And he said, this is how I did. I saw the Lord sitting before me. I saw him on his throne. I rested in his presence. My flesh found peace. My flesh found joy. My flesh found hope. I found the ways of life because I could see the Lord. How do you see the Lord? Out of an open heaven. It's the same way Stephen saw him when he was stoned, under an open heaven. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his own body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. Here again, the word of God says that David was just like us. He died. They buried him. And if you'd have went and dug up his tomb or opened the casket or whatever they had him stuffed away in, his remnant would still be there. There's only one where they walked in the hole and angels was holding dirty clothes. His name was Jesus. And he said right here, though David died, he established a throne as king of Israel, an earthly throne, the representation of what is in heaven, and Jesus Christ rose to all supremacy to occupy that throne. Can you see through the portal of heaven, Jesus Christ on his throne? If you can, you understand his government. You understand his providence. You understand his sovereignty. You understand his rulership. You understand that all governments, all things, all principalities, all authorities are under the rule of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who died and rose to occupy this place, the highest place of all supremacy, where everything's under his feet, everything under his rule, everything obeys his tongue other than humans themselves. Because of our free will, we obey or don't obey. But until you realize the open heaven, you won't see what David saw a long time before it happened. Is this making sense to anybody? This is more than one crazy day in the time of history written in the Bible where we started speaking in tongues so that we could get our own denomination and buy our own tambourines and jump around for an hour and a week making a circus out of the kingdom of God with our super spirituality. I condemn every bit of it because there's so much happened this day. This day, heaven opened. This day, a man of God preached under the power of the Holy Spirit. This day, he revealed to all mankind the throne of David that Jesus sits on. This day mankind walked into the kingdom of God. This day was called to repentance. This day was prophesied by Joel in chapter 2. This is the day the Lord has made, and this is the day he began his church in the earth. This is more than some denominational gig. This is more than just some spiritual manifestations. This is a time in history, and we have to come back to the originality. You hear me talk about original intent a lot. The intent of God, fulfillment of prophecy, the indwelling of men, the throne room of Jesus Christ. Until you understand that throne room, don't expect the land to respond. Hear that real good. Until you understand that throne room, don't expect your kitchen table to respond. Don't expect your business to respond. Don't expect the water tables to respond. Don't expect the atmosphere to respond. You better know what that throne room means. And under that open heaven, we live under the government of God. He says right here, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you. The patriarch dead, both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn of the oath, the fruit of his body, to raise up to Christ. Here we got the throne room. Verse 31, he says, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of which we're all witnesses. Jesus is not a figment of anybody's imagination. The Jews know Jesus. The Muslims know Jesus. We know Jesus. Jesus walked. Jesus walked. You just got to decide. Was he really born of a virgin? Was she really impregnated by the Holy Spirit? Is he really the Son of God? Or the Son of Man, it's just like Jesus asked Peter and the boys that day, who do you say I am? Did he really die? And did he really get up? You see, if you walked into this, then it's not a question for you. And you don't have to have facts and science to prove it, because you can see it with your own eyes, feel it with your own flesh. Hear it with your own ears. The reality of the kingdom of God. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received the Father's promise, the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. That's some good stuff right there. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, this is out of Psalms 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. You want to know why I'm fired up tonight? I've been reading this all week. I got an ottoman in my office. This morning, I don't hardly put my feet on it very much unless I want to take a nap, and I'm not going to tell you how many times a week I do that. But this morning, I was reading this again. I put my foot on the footstool, and I named some people. I'm not going to tell you those names either. Yeah, he said, sit at my right hand. Where do you sit? Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we've been seated there with him. How many of y'all think your enemies look you in the face? Mine have to look up from under my feet. You don't get to look me in the face. I've been raised to a higher place. I just have to read the Word of God and remind myself every now and then. When I think my enemies are getting about to my level, I know I need to elevate. The Word of God elevates me. Put my foot up on that stool and call him by name. He said, you sit right here till I make your enemies your footstool. If you were my children today and we were all sitting at my kitchen table and each one of you took a turn of telling me what you were afraid of, who you were afraid of, what's causing you to be anxious, and what's causing you to be fearful? I say, now sit here a minute, kids. Let me tell you a story. God said, sit right here till I make a footstool out of your enemies. But the Bible says that I'm the head, not the tail, that he's under my feet. And even though today the sons and daughters of Lucifer are pulling the covers back and saying, here I am, loud and proud. And we as Christians go, oh. No, go, boo. They have no authority. They have no covenant with God. They've been tricked into the belief that Jesus denied himself on his first encounter in these 40 days, when Lucifer himself took him by the hand and more or less told him, Jesus, if you'll jump off here and let me jump into my arms, and I'll give you all of this. A promise that Lucifer couldn't keep. You see, he's the father of all lies. Those sons and daughters of Lucifer that we see in operation today have truly been lied to. We've not. Our God does not lie. He tells the truth. He's promised us hope in this life. He's promised us many things. And he's faithful in that. A lot of it depending on our faithfulness, our willingness. That's why we come together every week, so we can encourage each other. Not be dismayed, not be downtrodden. I think we need to hear a lot of these messages in the days to come. I don't think we have easier days ahead. I'm not here to fill a football stadium. I'm not here to put funny stuff in my hair or smile real big to make y'all happy. I'm here to tell you that there's probably some days coming that's going to cause you to scratch your head. But I'm also here to tell you today that there's someone lives in you that's greater than all of the world. If you're truly born again and you've given yourself to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, to become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and him can do this together, and nothing is impossible with him. We'll keep encouraging each other with these words as we stand our ground. You see, a guy like me, I Don't worry about big crowds and numbers. God told us all, he said, if one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. I hadn't done a head count in here, but it looks to me like we'd be good for about 300,000. So numbers don't matter to God. Faithfulness does. And he says right here, enemy's footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. I wonder how many people in the world have truly given themselves to the idea of Christ being your Savior for heaven. I'd say a lot. Does that happen without him being your Lord? You see, he's both Lord and Christ. You see, the Godhead is Father and Son, King and Savior. You see, in the open heaven, you can't help but see him as Lord. I watched a guy one day, a guy that I still talk to on a regular basis. Guy full of demons. And I stuck with him for a couple days, but the second day got pretty crazy. It's pretty fun, really, once it's all over. I won't tell you all the details because you wouldn't believe me if I told you. But we had a pretty good go-around, and I saddled a horse and went with him all day just because I knew he was in the middle of his deliverance and there was a lot of demonic behavior. He thought he was going to knock me out there towards the end, and I held him by the nape of the neck, and he couldn't no more hit me than the man on the moon. He swung a lot. He screeched and wailed, and when that last one come out of him, he hit the ground on his knees, both hands, straight up in there. And he looked through the portal of the open heaven. It was me and my horseshoer watched. We wasn't in a building. We was in the country. I'll tell you, he got goofy enough, my horse jerked the reins out of my hand and took off. It was a cowboy event. And he looked through the portal of heaven. And he began to talk to Jesus from right there. And when he got done, I asked him, I said, what'd you see? And he said, I saw the Lord on his throne. And he said, I saw my mom. He can't finish the story. To this day, he can't finish the story. What he saw through the portal of heaven. No assurity. It's Jesus. He's Lord and Christ. He's not one or the other. He's both. And until he's both to you, you got some things to get fixed. That's just the truth. Now, when they heard this, see, here's revival. Here's the part. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? How many people do you think are sitting in their living rooms today going, what shall we do? What shall we do? This is what you do. Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call. I don't know about y'all, that fires me up. Repent. Be baptized. Turn it around. What shall we do? As me and Robin travel all over the country, that's the question of the day. What shall we do? We fought for some things for the last 4 years, and we didn't get what we fought for. Things didn't turn out exactly how we thought they might turn out, did they not? What shall we do? The next time somebody asks you, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, Repent and Be Baptized. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Mule Shoe, Texas. You can find us on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Mule Shoe Fellowship, and tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Mule Shoe Fellowship, God bless.